Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today I got Mr. Hewlett, aka Jay Money, JJ. No, I'm just kidding. Jason Hewlett. Jason, how you doing?
Good, man. Great to see you.
Great to see you too. And I also got this smooth Southern guy. When he gets in the sun, he starts to glow.
I turn red too.
Like but your teeth get whiter, man. Your teeth get whiter, man. You look all glowed up right now. Like the girls say, glowed up. You look glowed up.
Just a little bit, man, out here in the sunny state of Texas. I shouldn't say sunny state because Florida takes the sunshine state. But the humid state of Texas, that's where I'm at. And I'm enjoying it, loving it. And I'm glad to be on this podcast with you two.
That's right. And if you guys haven't been listening to OG Therapy for that long, this is three of the members of the OG Therapy team. And we're here to give your ears some little suggestions, some ideas, how to handle difficult situations that are family related, kids related. Sometimes we answer questions from teenagers. Sometimes we answer questions from parents. In the near future, in the fall, we're going to start answering questions that relate to relationships in business. So that's one of our specialties that we've been kind of keeping on the down low because we want to help people out with the parents and kids questions first, because as we all know, ain't no drama like family drama.
If you can't
deal with the family drama, good luck with everything else, because family drama is going to haunt you. That's going to follow you. They know where you live. They know your number.
All that.
You're going to have to see him. Plus, with the holidays coming around the corner, you have to see him at Thanksgiving, at Christmas. So. Ooh. Let's deal with some of these family drama questions. But for those people out there that want to follow us, you can follow us on OG.therapy, right, Kenneth? On Instagram, OG.therapy on Instagram. You can also follow me on David_Kozlowski, KOZLOWSKI _ on Instagram. And Jason Hewlett's, his is the hardest on Instagram. It's Jason Hewlett. The only hard part about that is spelling Hewlett.
That's right.
W-E-H. Just kidding. Go ahead.
I started thinking like, what?
I said it backwards. I was like, how do I say it backwards? I got the backwards right. It's actually Hewlett, right?
That's it.
Nice. Boom. I got it. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's jump into some questions though. We got a couple questions.
We gotta say K Scott's though. What's yours, man?
Oh yeah. Mine is K_2 on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Right. I need to become more active.
I didn't say K Scott because everybody already follows K Scott.
Everybody heard him.
Yeah. The only reason why they're listening to us is because they know K Scott.
That's right. That's true. No.
And they're like, well, if Kenneth is listening and hanging out with these guys, maybe they're not that bad.
You're too kind.
All right. Well, let's jump right into it. I know, we got a couple questions. We're going to break them up to separate episodes. We got a couple questions from parents about sports. They're sports related. And with the school year starting, that means sports are starting, in particular football season starting, other sports too as well. But that's the one that we are more affected by here in our realm of influence, being former University of Utah football players. And also, Jason, there's not a pro football team in the state of Utah. So you're going to be watching college football.
College football it is, and that's the best there is. So
in my opinion,
let's do it. This is a good question right here. It says, are we ready?
Yep.
Yes. Let's go. Okay. Let's do it.
What can a parent do when their child is picked on by a coach in a public way, such as on a text stream with the team or on a group me, and makes them want to quit? Ooh. Picked on by a coach. That's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What a shame, but I think that does happen. There's all these big group me's and text streams, and things can get weird.
You know, a little side note, a local friend of mine, actually it's my cousin, but his friend, we talked about last year, last winter, they talked about you should have some sort of OG therapy certification for youth coaches. And he wasn't joking. And I, cause you know, he listens to the podcast and he's like, you know, those things, statements versus questions. He kind of went on and on. He's like, if coaches knew how to communicate with their players better, they could still be tough macho coaches and still, you know, like be the rah, rah guys. He goes, I think as parents, we just feel that our money, our kids are being influenced. Our money's being well spent because they're leading our kids instead of just like, you know, being the old school, like shouting at them in their face, just a whole bunch of unnecessary stuff you don't need to do in coaching. And so I thought about that. I was like, you know what? I put that on my list of things that we're building towards. And I think that's a great idea. So until we have that certification, let's just go ahead and answer this question, because this question would be a question that we'd deal with if this was a real certification certifying youth coaches. First thing comes to mind, and I think you guys will agree with me on this. I don't want to dismiss the parents' fears, but we have to take into consideration, like when someone tells me like they were bullied, or a kid will say, this kid's bullying me, I don't just immediately say, okay, what kid? I'm going to go yell at that kid, tell him stop being mean. I ask them, first of all, just for more details. So with this parent, I'm going to assume that there's more details in between that, you know, they're, is there a chance that the coach could just be flat out mean, flat out jerk, teasing and mocking your kid? There is that possibility. Is there also a possibility that you as a parent, you may lean a little bit more towards the being very protective of your child's side, and you don't really, you feel really uncomfortable with any confrontation, any pushback, any sort of like in your face type of information? Some people were raised that way and they don't necessarily like it, but they're more familiar with it. Now, you guys know what I'm talking, right? Yeah. And other people, they get really sensitive and really hurt. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean that you're necessarily coddling your child. It may just be harder for you to hear those things. So let's just take into consideration that what the parent is saying is their opinion. It's something that they're concerned and worried about, not to dismiss it saying they're being a coddling parent, but it's helpful to know that there's a lot of ways to take this. So for example, what if that coach was a smartass? What if that coach had an issue with some kids he could joke around with, and other kids he'd be smart aleck, and it didn't bode well. It didn't go well with them because their parents don't talk trash to each other. There, it's a very, like, you know, it's a very just, you know, a very sensitive type of household that kid comes from. So let's now answer the question with that information, you know, in mind, right? So read back the question one more time, Jason, because there's one particular point in that I want to start off with.
What can a parent do when their child is picked on by a coach in a public way, such as on a text stream with the team or a group meet, and makes them want to quit?
So the parent can coach the teenager or the kid how to address this with the coach first. I think a big mistake, and I want you guys to jump in real quick. I think a big mistake is if parents get involved too quickly and too often.
Hey, you know, I mean, even the coaches that we have at our school, they say, do not contact us. This is something that the kid, the player, should deal with any problems that they have. In fact, a majority of the coaches that we've had in high school for our kids don't send us as parents anything other than a welcome, and then, you know, send us your kid's number, we'll put it on a group me, and we're going to let them know when the games are, practices are, all that stuff, and the kids have to communicate with the parent. So for a parent to step in the middle of this is like, it's almost a really bad situation for the kid. like on a social level with the other friends, you know?
Now, some parents have told me they get suspicious when they hear that. They say, I understand where the coach is coming from because some parents can be a little too much, but I'm not like that. So why can't I communicate with the coach? And I get what the parent's saying, but I also get what the coaches are trying to do. Now, I also get that some coaches could take advantage of that. They could be like, all right, like I've had this happen with another kid. The coach told the parent, say, listen, why are you communicating to me? Your son's old enough to communicate to me. You should not be communicating to me. And the parent said, I'm communicating to you medical information about my son's injury from the doctor to you. By law, that should be coming from me. What the coach was doing is the kid was the best player on the team. The kid was hurt, and the doctor's like, you should take a couple weeks off. And the coach was like, no, you can't. We need you right now. And so the coach was trying to pressure the kid into playing. And so the parent had to get involved. So the only side note I'd say that if there is medical information, things of that nature, mental or medical, then the coach should be communicated from, well, the communication should come from the parent to the coach. But outside of all those details, the answer to the question, start off with, parents need to coach their kids how to talk to their coaches.
Right.
What do you guys think about that?
I fully agree. It's teaching them, instead of reacting, learn how to respond to it. Because initially when you see it, you're probably going off the walls like, man, what in the heck? What's going on? Whoop-de-whoop. But if you just take time, step back, and kind of evaluate the whole situation of kind of like, okay, what's leading to this point to where you feel this type of emotion? Maybe the, like you mentioned earlier, maybe the kid, maybe the coach was trying to just spark some motivation into the kid, right? And he was hoping that would have prompted something. Or maybe, you know, you just never know. So like going back in context of trying to understand what prompted that portion of it, instead of like you jumping in as a parent to just automatically just be in protect mode. Obviously that's our baby, but like give the kid a chance and give the coach a chance to understand like what led to the point. I think that's the biggest thing. Cause like when we're out here coaching, I think it's always tell my kids, like when it comes to a problem, like come to me and address, like, let me know, how do you like being coached, right? Be like, do you need someone to constantly be on you and impress you? Do you need me to let off? Like, for instance, I have a quarterback and there's, you know, it's me and another coach, and the other coach is more of a rah-rah, get in your face. If you have a certain type of mess up on the play, he's like, come on, let's go. Like, whoop, whoop. And me, I'm more of like a reserved type of approach. I'm like, hey, help me understand what you thought right there. Like, take me through your thought process on why you made that decision, right? And so it's just like two totally different approaches. And so we just got to figure out what works best for the kid so that, like, moving forward, there will be no confusion on, man, the coach is picking on me and things of that nature. No. Just help me understand what works best for you to, you know, trigger some motivation to get you to the best to your ability. So that's the way I think about it when I'm coaching.
Jason, what are your thoughts? I see you nodding your head a lot.
Oh, I mean, K Scott's dropping some dimes there. That was beautiful. I would say, you know, there's a fine line between sticking up for your kid and in empowering the coach and not knowing when and how far you should go when there's some kind of miscommunication, perhaps, or just the difference in communication that you're not aware of because you're not on the field with that coach,
right,
and with your kid. And so, making sure that, obviously, like you said, Kaz, right at the beginning there, like, hey, maybe there's a communication style difference or there's more communication going on. And this is just kind of more of a, maybe it's a public forum as a place to call people out, almost in like a, hey, are you going to step up kind of a way? So there could be very well a whole private conversation between the player and the coach nobody knows about. Whereas in the public forum, it's almost like, hey, we're calling certain guys out so that they will feel the need to step up. And so that's where that fine line as a parent where you're like, whoa, instead of reacting so quickly and being like, hey, I'm going to jump all over this, maybe it's a chance to sit back, talk to your kid, find out all the details. And, you know, I know that there would be some parents like myself, I'd probably reach out to some other players and I'd be like, hey, tell me about the coach. What's your experience with the team and so forth. And then they're like, oh yeah, he jokes all the time about how crappy I am. And then I'd be like, oh, well, okay. I need to teach some sensitivity stuff with my kid.
Great points from both of you. Kenneth, you said something that, I really can tell. I don't know if Jace picked up on that, but you can tell Kenneth's OG certification is starting to come into play. Talked about responding, not reacting. Mm-hmm. And then when you said what you do with your kids, notice how big of a difference it is when you're speaking in statements versus when you're questioning them. So you told him, say, walk me through what you just saw. Tell me what just happened. Versus the other experience is, and granted, these are what good coaches do, what you're doing right now. Okay? The other experience is like, what the hell's wrong? Why'd you do that? Like, what'd you do that for? Okay. Mm-hmm. Just because we know these things, other coaches aren't necessarily going to know those things. Okay. Right. And you don't necessarily want your kid to go out there and coach the coach about how to coach them. Like when kids come to coach, say, hey coach, just want to let you know when there's too much light, it makes my eyes really sensitive. So could you please turn down the gym lights a little bit lower so I can perform better? It's like, that's not going to really go well. It's like, you know, I like an orange at halftime instead of bananas. So could next game, could you bring oranges instead of bananas? That's not really going to go well, right? So you don't want your kid to be coaching the kid that way. But one way that you can do it, and Jason just nailed it too, is that you can actually model for the coaches the way that you want them to treat your kids.
Right.
You can treat them with that same type of respect, right? So I've had this work for some other clients before in a very similar situation, like Jason was talking about. Their kid was a little overly sensitive. The parent got a little defensive, protective at first, but then listened to me. They thought, well, let me see what the coach has to say. And so they talked to the coach about a situation. The coach said, hey, I'm just trying to push him this and that. They realized that the coach wasn't being overtly mean. They read the group text, very similar, right? Read the group text. And so what they started telling their kid, they started telling their kid, say, hey, listen, I'm only going to reach out to your coach to tell them that I support them and that I want you and them to work together. So I helped the parent compose an email. And in the email, it had told the coach, hey, listen, I realize that kids nowadays sometimes get too sensitive. I realize that parents nowadays sometimes get too protective and too coddling. I don't want my kid to be too sensitive. And I sure as heck don't want to be one of those parents who are like, you see my email or text, like, oh my gosh, here we go again. So that's how the email started out. So I give you full permission to coach and discipline my child as you see fit, because I 100% trust you that even if you're hard on them, you're not going to be mean, cruel, or try to break them down. You're actually just trying to build them up. If you have any issues with my kid that you think I should know about, I know I'm not supposed to reach out to you, but you can more than well reach out to me and I'll just give you a thank you for the information and I'll deal with it on my end. That email went so well that this parent, she started telling all the other parents to do similar things because they were all sitting there chomping on the bit, wanting to communicate with the coach, but they're like, hey, I know we're not supposed to communicate. Just want to check in. Is there anything you need me to do, coach? Is there anything? They were trying to get this relationship with the coach so that they could get an inside opinion. Instead, by them just saying, hey, I trust you. I trust you to do a great job. If there's an issue with my kid, I'll trust you to handle it within reason, of course. You're not going to, you know, beat them or yell them or make them, you know, collapse of heat stroke when it's 120 degrees outside. Right. You just kind of make those little stipulations and leave it and walk away. And you both kind of did the exact same things. Well, not both, but you both said those tools in both your responses. So I'm like, I love these social health advice suggestions, and they're also common sense coming from your guys' experience too. That's what makes it even more powerful.
You know, it's beautiful too. Like, you learn so much through sports. And a couple of weeks ago, we're starting to get into HE double hockey sticks week, right? For the young kids as we're starting to tackle season. And we were doing conditioning drills, and one of the kids was just crying like a baby because I was so hot. I'm not gonna go down, just crying like a baby. And so after practice, we get in the huddle and one of the coaches called him out on it, and the kids started crying a little bit, like kind of mad tears, like, and just stuck in there like and like mad tears. And so, you know, I got up and I spoke to the team, was like, look, all like great leadership starts with self-leadership. That's what we told them at first. All great leadership starts with self-leadership. And I told them a little Instagram meme that I saw from Nick Saban that says, good teams are ran by the coaches. However, great teams are led by the players. And so once I told them all that, like, they started, after the next practice and the few practices on, they started holding each other more accountable to each other. Like, hey, come on, stand up, hands on the thing. And it's just that little just quick trigger, like using that negative or adverse scenario of him crying like a baby to like transform him into something else. It kind of gave him like, nah, I ain't gonna be a baby no more. I'm gonna stand tall. Kind of gave him more confidence too, in a way, which was pretty cool to see, like the transformation from someone going, a little kid going from, oh man, this is hard, to I can actually get through it. And not only am I gonna get through it, I'm gonna help others get through it too. And it was cool because the next practice, he was like, hey, come on, we all got this. He was like, I know I was crying like a baby last practice, but nobody's going to be able to do it this time. And so it was pretty cool to see the evolution of someone going from a baby to like a man, manning up.
Well, and especially for the parents that are listening to this question, because they're going to see this podcast and see this question, they needed you to say that, just like they need all these little pieces in here. Because what you just added in there is that, why are we having our kids in sports in the first place? Well, you just said it. Like, it's a great life. Like, this is a great life lesson experience. You're going to be on teams throughout the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So you have to learn with different types of people, right? Mm-hmm. Football is a bigger team sport. So there's going to be an even greater variety of ethnic backgrounds, height, size, likes, dislikes, right? So there's going to be a lot of differences in there. And if the parents are able to see that this is for their overall betterment, well, then we can't just protect them or block or interfere every time they have an opportunity to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's real.
Well said. And you know what? As I'm listening to Kay Scott talking about the, you know, the teamwork aspect, which I really love that, man. That was cool. I can say, you know, if one kid is feeling it, then I bet you a lot of them are. Right?
That's real.
It's not to say you want the kids to like conspire against the coaches. However, it is important for everyone to understand that everyone is important and everyone has their challenges they're going through, and the importance of the kids to lead one another, support one another, to be there for each other. I mean, when a kid feels picked on in a coaching situation, it's very, very common, I would imagine, that a majority of kids would feel something similar.
Yeah.
So to galvanize their personalities and their faith in one another as a team to say, hey, let's just get better. Let's push harder. Let's go together. It's a powerful experience and great opportunity. And that's where you want the parents to not step in.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. Go ahead, Kay.
And I wonder if, you know, we don't know the coach, and I wonder if that was his method. Did he say that in hopes that another one of his teammates was going to say, hey, like, you know, I don't know what was said, but I was wondering if the coach was hoping that another one of the players that was in the group me or the text thread was going to step up and, you know, take on that leadership position. You know, I'm not just looking at the different side of it, you know, if that was the coach's thought.
Well, Being in a therapy situation where I'd have parents who are coaches, parents who are mad at their coaches, like all different types of aspects, I would get those little details. And I can't think of a time where someone wasn't like really valid in their concern. Like a coach wasn't really valid in why they criticized the player that much. But those little nuances, a couple different words here or there, and that other in the kids' experiences or the past experience of coaches or the parents with past coaches, you just never know how those are going to align. And so I it's so important to know, this is to the coach now, so important to know as a coach, if you model for your teammates, if you model for your players how to be like A+, how to have like a PhD in support of one another, what they'll do for the team is going to be so much more. It's going to last longer. It's going to be more impactful. Shaming people in sports has always been a great motivator to greatness. It's always got people like, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. Come on, why being such a baby? If everybody on your team's yelling, you're like, and you'll just like figure it out, right? Yeah, or
can't do that.
You'll quit, shut down, and they'll never see you again. I think in today's world, we're seeing more of the latter. The kids avoiding those confrontations, avoiding combative energy, and avoiding uncomfortable moments. And so to all you coaches out there, just give you one final little tidbit of information. And that is, if the players on your team see you going up to that kid who's struggling and crying like a little baby, and they see you yelling at them and treating them like a little baby, they're going to do the same thing to that teammate. If they see you go up there and say, hey, look at me. The kid looks up, it's like, I would be mad at you, but I don't have to be. I'd be mad at you if you're a quitter, if you weren't strong, if you weren't tough. But I'm not going to be mad at you because you aren't a quitter. You are strong and you are tough. You got this. Let's go. And their brain's trying to figure out, like, did he just call me a quitter or compliment me? And then everybody's like, yeah, you got this. And they're like, oh, okay, I guess I do. You just have to really like kind of like shake things up a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. Of course, that was a little side note to all the coaches out there. But
my dad used to say, if the coach ain't yelling at you, he doesn't care about you.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's real.
My wide receiver coach said that at the University of Utah. I was like, dude, why are you always yelling at me, getting on me, this, that? He's all, the day I stop yelling at you, that's the day you got to worry. But if I'm yelling at you, it means I care. Turns out later he also didn't like me, he admitted, but you know, that was all. We became friends later. He's like, yeah, I actually didn't like you, on top of I wanted you to be better. So, all right, you guys, thank you so much. Thanks for the person who sent in this question to us as well. And you guys, OG Therapy, we're on YouTube, we're on Instagram, we're on Patreon. Go to www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. You get all these episodes, but you get to see our beautiful faces.
You love it.
Or somewhat beautiful faces, as Jason makes a weird looking face. You can see that. You can see that Jason's in the reel. Facial comment. Oh, yeah, that'd be a good reel, huh? All right, you guys. Well, until next time, as always, thanks for coming here. Thanks for just trusting us, because we know when life's got you down on your knees, you got to talk to some real OGs. That's what we're here for. Thanks, you guys. Till next time, be cool.
Know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.